This is Tuesday, March 5th, 2019. Has Season 2 of the Overwatch League got your goats? Find out what the OWL recap has to say about that one. This is Episode 280.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Titans and Excelsior, podcasters and podcasties, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Brian Black, also known to many of you as Ro. First off, I want to thank you guys for your patience and understanding. Real life and a cold, a rather nasty cold, hit me right in the throat and postponed the show for a week. It seems like everyone around me, whether in my offline life or online, is getting sick with some version of the cold or the flu or whatever. It's been a rough year as far as sickness and illness go, but I, for one, am ready to move past the cold and leap into spring. Small reminder, you are going to want to turn your clocks forward this weekend if you are living anywhere in the states outside of Arizona. Apparently, according to John and Ben from Azeroth Roundtable, that's the only state that's doing it right. Speaking of moving forward, let's keep the show moving forward as we go around the world of Blizzard in 80 seconds. In Hearthstone news, Roger from Chinese Taipei defeated Germany's Bunnyhopper to claim the title of HCT Winter Champion, but this is far from the biggest news of the past week as details for the Year of the Dragon have been announced. 9 cards will be retired to the Hall of Fame when the Year of the Raven comes to an end in early April, including Naturalize, Doomguard, Divine Favor, and all cards involving odd and even deck mechanics. The first single-player experience will include expanded dungeon run content that will be unlockable with gold or real money. Arena players will also experience a constantly changing metagame, with older and current sets rotating in and out of the available pool of cards every 2 months. Overwatch's 30th hero, Baptiste, is now available for play on the public test realm, along with adjustments made for 20 other characters on the roster, which are bound to have an impact on competitive play in the future. If you haven't played Diablo 3 during the Season of Grandeur, fear not, the end date for Season 16 has been moved to May 12th. And finally, on March 12th, World of Warcraft patch 8.1.5 will go live. Key features on this smaller content patch include Kul'Tiran and Zandalari troll allied races, updates to the Brawler's Guild which involve a murder mystery, new portal rooms in Stormwind and Orgrimmar, special quest chains for crafting professions with epic rewards, Warlords of Draenor time walking, remastered Warsong Gulch in the Wrathy Basin Battlegrounds, the Darkmoon Fair roller coaster, and the Crucible of Storms raid which will unlock on April 16th. I recommend checking out Wowhead or your favorite fan site for the full breakdown.
Time's up. Let's do this.
And now it's on the show notes where it's time to point out some of the more interesting bits of podcasting happening throughout all the shows covering Blizzard games. Former World of Warcraft community manager Caden House, known on the forums as Yithisons, was a special guest on episode 70 of the Allcraft podcast. You can find out more about what the future holds for Caden on this video cast, which is exclusively available on YouTube. But that's not the only place you can find him. Caden, aka Sakaar, can also be seen and heard on episode 23 of the Classic Cast. This is a WoW podcast focused on the upcoming World of Warcraft Classic Edition, and is also exclusively available on YouTube. Just type in Classic in your search box, add AST at the end of it, and you should find the show pretty easily. And I know, I hear you, but Ro, I listen to podcasts, I don't watch them. Fair enough, I've got you covered. While we're on the topic of Classic WoW, you might want to check out episode 93 of Countdown to Classic if you have an interest on the music of the game's early days. If one ANZ WoW podcast isn't enough for you this week, you'll be happy to know that Wemb and Tempest are back with another episode of the WoW pre-show. Turtles, seagulls, and NPC perspectives are talked about on episode 309 of Azeroth Roundtable, where Ben and John happily welcome for the first time Manny from the For Azeroth podcast. You also might want to check out episode 310 this Friday as well, when I'll be paying another visit. With the Mythic World First Race long behind us, the Final Boss podcast has had the opportunity to interview members of the top 2 raiding teams in the world about their experiences. You can listen to the Method interview on episode 179, followed by Limit's interview on episode 180. And I have a new podcast to introduce you this week. The host of the Frozen Nomad podcast has teamed up with Techie Taco, whom you might know if you follow Lagging Balls, to create Blizzmates, a community-based podcast all about getting to know the friends you haven't met yet. Blizzmates is available on many popular podcast apps, including Anchor. You can follow this new show on Twitter at Blizzmates, and you can email the show at blizzmates@gmail.com. Hearthstone podcasts are going to feature plenty of discussion on the Year of the Dragon this week, but before that was announced, many shows were talking about the new specialist format for Hearthstone esports in 2019. While I was sick and couldn't make it to episode 25 of Hearth Casual, Kevin Ellis welcomed Twitch streamer Maple Meow to the show, who was more than happy to fill in, And I'm obviously biased, but I think they did a great job talking about those esports changes and why the changes might even be appealing for casual players. Be sure to check that one out. I do want to take a moment to apologize for having an out-of-date link for the Into the Wild podcast on the podcast directory. I've recently fixed that, and the show is alive and well. Rumors of it pod fading were greatly exaggerated. Episode 60 includes thoughts from co-host Danny Donuts on the recent Wild Open and his participation in it. Keep up with the show by following it on Twitter at IntoTheWildHS. Upcoming arena changes for Hearthstone in the Year of the Dragon have evoked a lot of opinions from players, a lot of them pretty positive. But you might be surprised with how the co-hosts of the Lightforge podcast feel about it. I'd suggest listening to that one and the most recent episode of Arena Sensei for some unique viewpoints if you play Arena Mode. Moving on to Overwatch podcast news, I'd like to first off give a quick congratulations to Broverwatch, which just posted its 50th episode, and Heroes Never Die, which will be recording its 150th episode on Wednesday, March 6th. You can catch the live stream of that recording at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on twitch.tv/OWLNShow. Deathblow was Andres' special guest, filling in for Rob on the most recent episode of the Omnic Lab podcast, which is full of talk about the Paris map and Baptiste. While many of us are focused on the spectacle of the Overwatch League, let's not forget that many of the newest players got their start in the Overwatch Contenders program, and there are podcasts out there which cover Contenders content. Tactical Crouch just recently posted an interview featuring the head coach of the Montreal Rebellion, that's the Overwatch Academy team for the Toronto Defiant. The OWL Network also continues to expand its Overwatch content by adding an Overwatch Contenders podcast to its lineup. This marks the return of regular Contenders coverage on that network since July 2018 with the Batcat. You can look for Hack the Planet, an Overwatch Contenders podcast on most podcatchers soon, hosted by Ciarnak, Ryu, and Drayden. Hack the Planet will feature news coverage across regions, game results, player standouts, and deep dives into the North America, Europe, Korea, and China contender scene. Last but certainly not least, as you know, Valentine's Day has come and gone for this year. But not before leaving us another wonderful episode of one of my favorite Overwatch podcasts. Yes, that's Waifus of Overwatch. Voice actors Aaron Fitzgerald and Daniel McRae are back with the voice behind Ashe, and more importantly for Ben Baumhofer, the voice behind FemShep, Jennifer Hale. If you haven't been listening to Waifus of Overwatch, you are really missing out. There's few other places that you'll find interviews with the voices behind your favorite Overwatch characters. That's the lowdown for at least 16 podcasts covering Blizzard games, but as you know, when possible, I try not to leave anyone out, so...
Cheers, love! The cavalry's here!
Yes, it's once again time for your weekly podcast roundup. An insanely quick rundown of every podcast that I'm aware of which covers a Blizzard game and recorded an episode between February 25th and March 3rd of 2019. For General Blizzard Podcast, we have All Things Azeroth, Battle.net News, Blizzard Watch, Blizzmates, Epic Fail, Frozen Nerds, General Chat, The Incense, and The Sundering. Your World of Warcraft podcasts include the AIE Podcast, Allcraft, Azeroth Coast to Coast, Azeroth Roundtable, Best in Slot, Classic Cast, Countdown to Classic, Control at WoW, Dungeon Fables for Azeroth, Final Boss, Frazzlecast, Girls Home Wild, The Half-Hill Report, Heroes Call Board, Lion's Pride Tavern, Middlefinger Podcast, Morally Gray, Pwncast, Rolling Restart, The Starting Zone, The Torn and the Goblin, Unshackled Fury, Whispers of War, World of Warcast, WoW Challenges, WoW Pre-Show, and WoWhead Weekly. Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone, we have Six Iron Dusty, Iron Chicken, The Arena Sensei, Around the Hearth, Blizzard Hearthstone, Brewmasters, Coin Concede, The Happy Hearthstone, Hearth Coach, Hero Power Cast, Into the Wild, The Light Forge, Off Curve, Tier 5 Podcast, Valetown, Bones Chosen, Walk to Work, and Well Met. Shattered Soulstone and Westmarch Workshop covered Diablo this past week. The Pylon took care of StarCraft. Here's the Storm Podcast include Gankbush Squad and Into the Nexus. And finally, for Overwatch, we have the Bird Watchers, Blackwatch Report, Broverwatch, The Cavalry, Heroes Never Die, High Noon, Low Team Damage, Omnic Lab, Omnic Weekly, On the Flank, Overwatch League Network, Owl by the Numbers, The OWO Recap, Tactical Crouch, and Watchpoint Radio. You can find the weekly podcast roundup at the end of the Rolling Restart podcast and during this show. For links to all these shows and more great podcasts covering Blizzard Entertainment games, go to realm-maintenance.com. I'll be back with the hosts of this week's featured podcast after the overly dramatic news from Hunts the Wind.
Cart full of kaboom can't keep course. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. While goblins are without a doubt far more skillful at creating mechanical devices than other races of the Horde, their obsession with explosive capabilities over all else can often lead to them neglecting other elements of their designs. I came face to face with this reality recently while repelling an alliance assault upon the deserts of Voldoon. In an effort to defeat a platoon of Stormwind tanks, the goblins deployed some RPEDs, remotely piloted explosive devices. I took control of one of the small drones and attempted to guide it towards one of the Alliance's metallic monsters, but I quickly realized that the goblins had put almost no thought into the virtual reality interface I was using to see through the drone's eyes. I was locked into a view just a few feet ahead of the bot and spent the next several hours aimlessly steering it out into the endless sands. Eventually, its battery died, and now it sits somewhere in the middle of nowhere, never to fulfill its explosive purpose. Speaking as an engineer myself, all I can say is that when it comes to goblin technology, even their best efforts often lead to nothing more than opportunity lost. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Season 2 of the Overwatch League is well underway, and Overwatch podcasts are definitely ready for it. Each show has its own take on Blizzard's premier esports competition, including this week's spotlighted podcast. With me right now to talk more about the OWL recap and the league in general are a couple familiar voices from previous Overwatch features on the show and a new one. They are Blazin' Bob, Mel, and Andres. Good to talk to all you folks once again.
Hello. Glad to be here.
So, Andres, of course, many people might know you from the Omnic Lab podcast, and you continue to do that along with this project. I was wondering if you could start by just telling me what brought you three together to do the OWL recap.
OWL recap started on our first trip to BlizzCon, actually. It wasn't any of our original idea. It was actually a third member that is not with us anymore. His name is Justin, or Aidmaro. He was one of the original members. You can actually still listen to some of the episodes we did with him. But when we went to California for the first BlizzCon for all of us, I believe, we ended up kind of hitting it off. It was a nice group of friends. Everyone was into Overwatch League, and he really wanted to get into podcasting. So he laid a lot of the groundwork for the podcast. And then Bob and I kind of came in second. We were discussing with him, hey, it would be a good third host. And Bob was a great choice since he had been part of the group and he was already starting his journey into podcasting at the time. He was a natural fit there. And then Mel came last after Justin unfortunately had to leave. Mel was
before Justin left.
Well, yeah, you did join right before he left, but it kind of like solidified the podcast, at least being the three of us. Even Justin left. We miss him dearly, but he did bring us together and now we're here.
Bob, I've not yet had a chance to talk to you on the show. As you reminded me, you joined Watchpoint Radio shortly after I had them featured on the show. One thing that I kind of like to ask all of you, is starting with you, Bob, is what is it specifically about the Overwatch League that keeps you motivated to dedicate a podcast to it?
I was super into Overwatch, and that's why I joined Watchpoint Radio. Because I was just super into Overwatch, but then I ended up going to BlizzCon for the first time in 2017, met Andreas, met you, met a ton of different podcasters, and I got to see the World Cup. And with all of the rules with Overwatch League coming in and saying they were going to do, you know, location-based teams, that the names wouldn't change, because the problem I had with esports in general was just that teams were changing so often, information was all over the place, you never knew where to catch the matches. So the Overwatch League like spoke my language as an NFL fan, and Nate even coined it, you know, when he talked about it early on, as he wanted to be like the NFL, and I was like, oh, this is my chance to get in. And so I got to join the podcast with Justin and Andreas, and it was a great experience. And I started watching the Overwatch games and really just have only missed a handful in a year. So I just love it. I don't really have a good answer.
Sometimes it's just the fact that you just love the game and you love esports at a high competitive level. I mean, that's a simple answer enough, and that can work pretty much for anyone. Mel, would you say it's more the same for you, or is there anything more specific in particular that just keeps you interested about the Overwatch League?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of the same, but I will say, like, I don't know if anybody remembers the good old days of the Cavalry where Slambo was super into the esports aspect of it. And Tank and I just kind of stared at him while he was doing it, like, okay, yeah, I don't know anything about that. And then, you know, the World Cup really kind of got me in the mindset of like, oh, this is fun. This is like, I'm a huge football fan, right? So I love watching the Chiefs play football even more so this year than previous
I
years.
Bet.
But but I love that, right? And I love this like regionalization that they've got going. And I think that it's just a good dynamic to get people into esports that aren't just Overwatch players or that aren't just esports followers, right? Like, it's getting casual people in, which is what you want. Like, how many people play football that watch football?
Well, I mean, I met somebody at a watch party just the other night, and they got the game and he played with them for the first time.
Yeah. Well, I was at a Atlanta Rain party, watch party, and there was a few girls over there, and one of them had been playing Overwatch for a long time, but her younger niece had never played Overwatch, but she was at the event with her, and she found it so cool and entertaining that she was like, oh, I want to try Overwatch. And I ended up adding them on Discord. Later, we all played together. It was a group of six of Atlanta Reign people. But yeah, the actual esport and the Overwatch League got her into Overwatch. And I don't think she enjoyed playing as much as watching it later on. She was like, wow, this is way too fast. And granted, it was the first time she was playing probably against some better people. But
yeah, you very quickly realize that you're not as good as you think you can be. Right.
But yeah, the casual crowd is getting into it because of Overwatch League.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I watch a ton of Overwatch League myself. And when it comes to playing the game nowadays, I'll typically play like maybe 3 or 4 hours of Overwatch total when some special event comes around and there's new skins coming around. So like I'll pop in from time to time, but I don't play too much anymore. But I love watching the heck out of the Overwatch League because I just find I like watching esports at a high competitive level, and the way that they have packaged it and put together, it just makes it interesting to watch. And I can understand what's going on, unlike, say, League of Legends, where I'm just kind of...
I feel you there.
Same. But I have to give it to the production team real fast. I have to give it to the production team because I think they've done an amazing job of just like making it accessible to people that aren't hardcore esports players. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I think that's very important. Well, looking at our recap now, of course, each of you have your other podcast projects. Of course, with this show being specifically on the Overwatch League, you could say that's the main difference between this show and your other projects. But are there any other differences as far as how you approach covering the league and covering the game on this show than compared to the other shows that you do? Mel, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot of just watching the games and taking your perspective, but more so like with the Cavalry on general podcast news, you kind of do research on like what's out there in the environment and what's going on in the community and things like that. And with our recap, it's a lot of kind of taking notes on the games and trying to give more in-depth analysis, which I guess probably Andres does a little bit more than we do on the Cavalry, right? Because we're not necessarily a strategy podcast. But I think with our recap, what I love about the three of us is that we can just sit down and kind of watch the games and talk about what we saw. And we all watch different aspects of the games, right? Like I'm a support main, so I watch a lot of the supports. Bob's a tank main, so he watches a lot of the tanks. And Andres is a DPS main, so he doesn't watch Overwatch League right now because it's GOATs. Yeah,
I'm taking a break.
We're going to talk about that a little bit later.
But yeah, I mean, it's great. And I love the dynamic that we have. And I think we all three bring different aspects to the show.
So obviously there's the analytical part, and Andres, you take care of that. Another aspect I would say is kind of interesting when you're following something like, say, the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, stuff that the OWL is kind of trying to emulate. I think one of the important things is also player stories and team stories. A great example is just recently the Shanghai Dragons, winless for all of season one, finally got their first win. How important are the player stories and the team stories to the three of you on OWL Recap?
Actually, I'm glad you asked, because we've actually, so I did leave Watchpoint Radio, so I only have one podcast now, and that, well, no, I have two podcasts, sorry. I joined Al by the Numbers, a fantasy podcast, but I left Watchpoint Radio specifically to focus on the Overwatch League, because I felt I was watching more Overwatch than playing. And so I felt I wasn't a good fit on Watchpoint Radio, which is focused around everybody playing the game. So I decided to recruit a new member of our team, and we're doing YouTube interviews of the players at the Blizzard Arena. We're doing a handful of them every week, and we're putting them on YouTube only because it would cost a fortune on Libsyn.
And I think that's a great bit of extra additional coverage, and definitely encourages people to check out your YouTube coverage as well. Now, all of you have had an opportunity to see the Overwatch League in person, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yep, that's correct. Yeah.
With Season 2, we have the introduction of 8 more teams. I felt in Season 1 that 12 was just the perfect number, and of course the Overwatch League wanting to grow, wanting to be ambitious and be more global has brought in 8 more teams. How difficult, Andres, has it been to follow the league this season with this relatively large expansion?
Definitely this season, we've had to be a little bit more picky. I don't think any of us has been able to watch every single game of every single week. Bob is probably getting close to that.
I've watched everyone. I've watched every game. Granted, it's stage one, week two, week three now. So, yeah.
Well, you guys are doing a much better job than I have, because I definitely have not been able to watch as many, especially my life has gotten a little more busy lately, finishing school and getting a new job. But I think that for the average person, it's impossible to keep up with all the games. You definitely are going to have to use the extra tools, right? Overwatch League itself has a great website that can tell you all the scores. And there's a bunch of other websites out there that are kind of working on keeping you updated. Podcasts like ours that can keep you up to date are a great source of information for that sort of thing. But keeping up with 15 plus teams is just really, really hard, especially because the games are anywhere between 1.5 hours to 2 hours long. And unless you're just not doing anything else but watching Overwatch League for every week of like 5 months, then you're not going to be able to keep up, right? But I think it's getting to more like the sports version of it, where you might just pick your teams, the ones that you truly want to watch, or the matches that are truly important, and stick to those, right?
Yeah, and I'd say that's fairly accurate. I have not been able to catch every game of Season 2 so far. I have definitely not missed watching any NYXL game, because that's my team. and for those who hate the NYXL, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we're 4-0 after 2 weeks, but hey, what do you expect?
Listen. You didn't have to beat up on Houston so bad last week. I'm just saying.
all I can say to that is J-L-U-L-K-E. 2 weeks in, of course, and actually three by the time people are listening to this, because we're recording in the midst of week three, we have a little bit of a taste of what we can expect from some of the returning teams, some of the new teams. There are a couple of new teams that have definitely made some interesting impressions. I'd like to go around the table and just hear from each of you. What has surprised you the most early on in stage one? Mel, how about you start?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that surprised me the most is I don't watch contenders, right? So I can't follow both. Just too much for me. But so I was expecting the expansion teams and the teams with a lot of contenders players to start slower, And they really didn't. They started very fast. And now I realize why is because Goats was very popular in Contenders, so they had more practice. But I think what I love about the meta right now and the games in the last 2 weeks, two plus weeks, is that it's really kind of any given Sunday, right? Like you say with football, any given Sunday, somebody could win. And I think that's where we're at right now. Like anybody could win a game. There's not a team or teams that are like way higher than every other team. And yes, we have like our teams that are like, I'm not sure about you right now, but still.
Hi, Washington.
Yeah, right? Like, but still, they have the chance to win. Like, they can win, and they've shown us that. And with the exception of a couple teams, we're really looking at this very balanced league. And I love that. And that's why I've watched every single game, because I can't take my eyes off of it. Because I'm like, man, there's no throwaway games this year, right? Like, you used to say last season, like, okay, I don't have to watch Shanghai versus anyone. Because it's, you know, I know how it's going to end. But like this year, it's like, wow, I don't know. Maybe this is going to be a good game or maybe it won't.
Just wait a few months, though, when the Outlaws are at the bottom of the barrel and you're like, why watch this game anymore?
Don't talk about my Outlaws like that. The Outlaws are going to pick it up and listen, there's a lot of changes going on and they are good to go. Don't you worry.
Bob, is there any kind of like standouts from the first couple weeks for you?
The expansion teams coming in and hitting the ground running like this hit all, I mean, almost every analyst I know by surprise, except for maybe Volumel. But I think the reason might be a little bit different. I mean, of course, they had more practice at Goats and Contenders, but I think maybe just season one of Overwatch League was kind of like Big Brother. Like, you know how you learn a lot of lessons about what not to do to get in trouble from your big brother. So early on, you know, Overwatch League, they, you know, teams didn't have sports psychologists, but Atlanta Reign came right in with one right off the bat. And
okay,
so just,
well, they also signed a lot of people that were probably
But what I'm saying is there was a lot of lessons learned for the expansion teams that they didn't even have to learn the hard way. They, if properly prepared, could come in hitting the ground running. And I think that's a big reason that the expansion teams have been so good.
Five of the top eight as of this recording, which is on Thursday, the February 28th, five of the top eight are expansion teams. And I had a feeling, I mean, I had been watching very closely, but I had a feeling like Atlanta was going to make a name for itself. I knew nothing about Vancouver, nothing about Paris, and here they are really making a statement. Andres, anything you want to add as far as like early impressions or surprises from you?
Sure. I got a couple of things that I've noticed this season. One, Atlanta, baby. I'm super happy with my team. Man, have they impressed.
Let's go, dude.
They are the perfect team for me. They got good players. They got good synergy, good teamwork. Their coaching looks solid. And they have attitude and style, which is something some of the other teams could definitely use a little bit of. Aside from that, one of the things that had really stuck out to me, I guess it, more in the analytical sense, is just how important specialization has been, right? Because some of the teams that have the available roles, like really standout roles in the tanks and the healing right now, are performing quite well because the meta is favoring them. And even though some of the DPS players are world-class, right? And you could definitely say, if this person can learn Tracer, they can definitely play Reinhardt, right? But that's just not quite the case. Or I guess Tracer to Reinhardt is not a fair comparison, but some of them are even having to transfer to roles like Zarya or Brigitte, and they have fallen flat. They really are not performing at that same level. And it can be for a variety of reasons, but the point is you need super specialized players to be at the tippity top under any meta. And the teams that will not have that are going to fall a little behind. The teams that do have that are going to have an easier time cruising from meta to meta. And definitely, you just can't afford to have too many flex players anymore. I think that you have to have super specialized roles.
I feel like that's completely opposite of my beliefs, because right now we're looking at a meta that, yes, is 3-3, right? But it's looking at flex being the most important factor in this meta, because Ryan's now all of a sudden have to flex to Winston on the same map, and they have to be that main tank for their team. You know, and then we've got Brigitte's who, or then Zarya's who all of a sudden have to flex to Sombra. And if you don't have that flexibility within your team, you're 100% by the wayside, right? Like, you can't counter what they're bringing at you if you don't have that flexibility. And I think that's the issue right now, is that, like, Houston, I think, would be a great team. They've got the one of the best Zarya's, but they have him on D.Va, because they have a DPS on Zarya, because the DPS can flex to Sombra. And I think that that's just, I think flexibility is more important, contrary to popular belief, in this meta than it's ever been.
I think flexibility within role, right? Because, you know, when the Reinhardt's going to Winston, you're still staying in the main tank role. When, you know, the Brigitte swaps and the Zarya swaps, I think is what is making or breaking the teams, like you're saying.
Yeah.
If you don't have the player... You need a
couple flexible roles.
Right. But most of the times, the Zarya or the D.Va are kind of like the DPS in those compositions, or the Brigitte, right? That's kind of like the role that they take. So in a way, they're kind of staying under the same role, but you have to have these like all-star performers that are performing in that role at all times.
The almost absence of DPS characters in Overwatch League is a very stark difference from season one. And it's been called GOATS as far as like the team that originated it. You have a composition where you have three tank characters, three support characters. And I know just watching Twitch, anytime teams bring up a GOATS comp, which is pretty much every game, you see all the reaction in Twitch chat of more GOATS and resident sleeper emotes and all that. My question to you, as someone who, as a viewer, as a spectator of the league, and as someone who covers it on a podcast, do each of you feel that the GOATS comp is a problematic situation that needs to be addressed?
I think it definitely does, because there's six supports, well, seven now with the new hero, but... Mm-hmm. There's that right now six supports and six tanks, and there's like double, not there's more than 12 DPS players that just aren't getting played. And there's been all kinds of different suggestions, like a roll queue, which would be, you know, which would make it so the Overwatch League, like when we talked to Nate at opening week, like he said, you know, any change that comes to the competitive ladder, like a roll queue, would be enforced in the Overwatch League too. So there's been a lot of talk about that to fix it, but I think the recent PTR changes are really trying to push for GOATS to die.
I mean, I would agree with that to a certain extent, but at the same time, like, when was the last time you watched Overwatch League and it was more diverse than it has been in these 2 weeks? I mean, we saw all characters played in week one.
True.
Every
true.
Single one of them, right? We saw Sim, we saw Torb. Thank you to Fran. But like, I just want to say, like, yes, it seems like this horrible meta where our DPS heroes don't get to play, and yeah, you don't get to see Widow pop off, which is exciting, and you understand what's happening. And I'm not saying it's not a problem, but it's definitely still exciting. Like, if you actually watch the games, like, they are still exciting. And I think the reason it's anybody's game every week is because what matters most in a GOATS meta is your team. Like, you have to work together. There's no hard carry on your team. That's not an option. Like, you have to work as a six stack. You cannot work as like Widow needs to get a pick before we can move in, right? Like, and I love
true,
that.
True. It's just the majority.
I would almost say that that could potentially, well, teamwork and team play is definitely a great thing in team sports in general. I feel that you want to have your star players, right? And when you have players like, I'll just bring up Pine from the Excelsior because I'm most familiar with him. When you have Pine not able to really play Widow as much and show off his skills in that capacity, it feels like there's just less potential for certain players to kind of stand out and for certain players to get a name in their team. I'm not saying there are no star players on any team. They're definitely there, but it's not as prevalent this season as last season. It just is my observation.
Sure. Goats has definitely weakened, though. Like, Goats is not what it used to be after a few patches. The thing about it is that it's still slightly over the edge, and that is why I think Goats still or Overwatch still needs a little bit of work with Goats, because it's just a little bit too oppressive, right? When you can just go Goats almost in every map, and Goats can beat almost every composition out there, even those that should be supposed to hard counter it, I think that you have a slight problem there, right? And I think that it goes is not too far off the line at this point. Like Bob said, with these changes, we might actually see a slightly different meta there. But like
Please
Mel was saying,
bring back Junkrat is all I'm
hoping for. Oh, I think it's very J-Rat. Possible with the changes that hit. There was a second set of changes that hit today that changed Junkrat and a few other characters. So
there's many changes.
Yeah, you were talking about Pine. You might get to see Pine on McCree come here stage two.
Yeah, I did see those McCree changes. I'd definitely be all for that.
But Goats is not a bad comp, right? Like Mel was saying, Goats actually does require a lot of teamwork. And I think that if Goats becomes more of, hey, happens to be good in this map or in this situation, or if you go Goats, you definitely counter this type of composition, and it's more of a tool in your arsenal, I think that they'll be super awesome. But right now, it's more of like Goats is the Swiss Army knife in your arsenal. Mm-hmm. You just don't have to pick any other tool because Goats just kind of has it all right now.
That kind of gives a pretty good taste of what the three of you talk about on the show. And there's definitely some stuff that we haven't gotten to, but I'll either save it for our yearly maintenance segment or save it for having people check you out on the OWO recap. Of course, we just got the announcement of Baptiste, who is rumored to be a character that'll be counter Goats. So we'll see how that plays out. And of course, there's a large number of PTR changes coming for a lot of characters. And I imagine that's going to have a big impact, not necessarily on stage one, but definitely once we get to stage two. Before we close out, I want to do one prediction in this interview here and save the rest for the yearly maintenance segment. But stage one, who do you think is going to take it all? And why do you think it's the NYXL, Mel?
It's definitely not NYXL. They like to sit back at the end of the stage. Sorry. But I do think, as much as I'd love to say Houston, it's definitely not. But are we talking end of stage or end of season?
Just end of stage.
Okay. I think end of stage, I think Vancouver will take it.
They're definitely in the position to do so far. Bob, how about you? Who takes stage one?
Burn blue, baby. My boys in blue, the Dallas Fuel.
You are such a homer.
If I was going to pick for real, though, I would actually say the Vancouver Titans, too, but Mel took it. So I'm going with Dallas, baby.
I was going to...
This from the Legging Balls podcast would approve, I'm sure. Andres, how about you?
Oh, it's so hard because I haven't seen all the teams play against each other. Atlanta is definitely up there. It could happen with them, but Vancouver is definitely looking like a super solid choice based on the matches. Actually, I think NYXL still has a really good chance of taking stage one based on how they're playing the last few matches. And Atlanta, too. Can I give three? Atlanta, Vancouver, or NYXL?
He said one.
Let's throw Paris in there.
Yeah, it could be any of the 28 teams, I promise you.
Because I just haven't seen the top teams really like go against each other yet.
But that's why it's so exciting right now, because there's so many teams that could take it.
Okay, I must say either Vancouver or NYXL. Vancouver.
No, pick one. Vancouver. He picked Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Okay. Well, I'll have to be the lone representative to be thinking ever upward with the NYXL.
You'll probably be the only right one. We're just wishful thinking here that they won't take it. Let's be honest.
Well, we'll find out the answers to that, and we'll find out all the stories and analysis to that on a number of shows, including the OWL recap. I want to thank you guys for being on the show this week. And Bob, if you could let my listeners know how they can best get connected with the show and you folks on social media and otherwise.
All right. Well, you can find us on Twitter at Al Recap. You can find us on YouTube by searching OWL space recap. You can join our Discord by going to discord.me/omniclab. And you can check out our Twitch at twitch.tv/Al Recap.
All right, Bob, Mel, Andres, thank you once again for being on the show. Best of luck to any team that's not the Vancouver Titans. and I hope
NYXL.
We'll see.
I like NYXL. Good luck to them.
Indeed. Enjoy the rest of the Overwatch League. It's sure to be a lot of fun.
Thanks for having us, Ro.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
It's once again time for some RNG on the show, an entirely random segment which has nothing to do with a random number generator. But maybe, just maybe, it has something to do with ravenous newlywed geologists. Okay, maybe not this week anyhow. So, first off, I want to thank you folks for the response and feedback that some of you sent my way in regards to that 6-minute response that I made about the layoffs at Blizzard that I posted a couple of weeks ago. I stand by everything that I said there still to this day. I am still a Blizzard fanboy. I'm just pretty disgusted with those at the executive level right now, especially when, in a report posted on February 28th, Activision Blizzard stated that the layoffs could negatively impact their business. Gee, you freaking think? I'm not going to go there. That's all the time I can spend on that and avoid spontaneous combustion. So let's switch up to something else. The Year of the Dragon in Hearthstone has me pretty excited, and I'm sure I'll be talking about it plenty later this week on Hearth Casual, but there's one thing that I did want to bring up here. All in all, most of the response about the upcoming changes and additions have been fairly positive, all except one, and that's the fact that you will have to pay to unlock the solo player content coming in May. The first chapter will be free. The remaining 4 chapters after that can be unlocked for 700 gold each, or you can pay $20 and get the whole thing. Now, a lot of people aren't too thrilled about that, but really, I think it's all about how it's packaged and presented, and I hope when I explain it to you from my perspective, you'll see that it's not really as bad as you might think. As far as I can remember, the rewards for free single-player content that we've had in the past have been pretty minimal. Usually it's something like 3 card packs, and when the content launches, a special card pack if you complete all the content. So for $0.00, you get 3 packs and the card pack. Pretty good deal. I mean, definitely worth what you paid for it. In May, you are going to get the following for $20 or 2,800 gold. By the way, it makes a lot more sense to spend $20 on it. Trust me on this one. If you have the money to spend, great. If you don't, then sure, 2,800 gold for you, but I'm going to spend $20. For that $20, you get 15 packs of the new set, a golden classic pack, which at the minimum would be 300 arcane dust if you just disenchanted everything, 2 new card backs, a golden legendary that functions like a new Whizbang the Wonderful, and of course the content itself, which at first glance appears to have much more customization and depth to it than any of the previous dungeon run type content that we've done before. Now, if we just look at the packs alone, it normally costs $20 to buy a 15-pack bundle. So, the way I look at it is like this. I'm buying 15 packs, and I'm getting a Golden Classic pack, 2 card backs, and a supersized version of Dungeon Run content on the side for free. Like I said, it's all about how you package it. If the content is worth it, I don't mind investing some money in it. After all, this is coming from someone who spends $120 a year just playing WoW. Further, you can still unlock it with gold if you don't want to spend a dime, and that's perfectly fine. Again, I'm going to suggest you spend the $20. It's just some food for thought. Like I said, I'm sure Kevin Ellis and I will be talking much more about this on Hearth Casual, so be sure to check that out on Friday. And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and speculate on what the heck the first expansion of Hearthstone for 2019 will be. Of course, all the visual clues indicate that it's pointing to something magey, something Dalaran-y. I feel like the main character to start us off on this full year connected story is going to be Eowyn, one of the former Guardians of Tirith's Fall. That is just my guess. I don't think we're going to go into a Medivh or Khadgar direction. Let's see if I'm right. I mean, it could be Jaina-centric too, but I think it's going to be someone different, someone who's been out of the spotlight, at least for World of Warcraft recently. I think we'll get the answer to all of that in the next few days. Meanwhile, I want to thank you folks for listening to the show once again. Of course, I do a couple of other shows, Hearth Casual, which I have promoted a few times today because Year of the Dragon's so cool. Hearth Casual is the Hearthstone podcast that I do with Kevin Ellis. I also do a WoW-centric podcast called The Rolling Restart. You will hear that episode next week where Ben Bumhoffer will be joining me. If you want to support those two shows or this podcast, you can support all three by going to patreon.com/realmpodcast. Of course, 5-star reviews on iTunes and just telling people about how much you're enjoying the show is always appreciated. If this happens to be your first time listening, you can find the podcast on most podcasting apps, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. Don't forget to check out realm-maintenance.com, where you can find not only the weekly podcast roundup, but a directory of most podcasts out there covering your favorite Blizzard franchises. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or promo to send in, or if you're simply a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts for those games, you can send your emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter @realmpodcast or follow myself @Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Episode 281 is coming at you in 2 weeks, and if all goes as planned, I'll be talking with at least one of the hosts behind one of the few General Blizzard podcasts I've yet to cover on this show. Stay tuned. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been the presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2019, and is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. You can find more great shows at frozenfoxmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. The show's theme music is a cover of Call to Arms by Emma Fox. Thanks once again to Bob, Mel, and Andres from the OWL Recap for being on the show this week. You can follow their show on Twitter @OWLRecap. Thank you for your interest, your retweets, and your downloads of this show and others in the Blizzard podcasting community. And as always, thanks for listening.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter @FrozenFoxMedia. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.